On Mad Dog Sports Radio, we use Get Serious to debate sports. But I've been doing something a little different and mixing things up beyond the sports world. So today, we're still talking sports, but we're also talking relationships, movies, music, television, whatever's got you all heated. So no more wasting time. Y'all know the drill. Let's hear your takes, all right? Give it to me.
Stephen A., I need help. My boyfriend's obsession with sports is ruining our relationship, but he only watches when you're on, and you're on all day. How many jobs do you even have? How do I compete with Stephen A. Smith?
I know that's a trying, you know, really difficult thing for you to deal with. I mean, my goodness, you're competing with me for your man's affection, but here's the problem, okay? I'm not the one looking to keep him warm at night. You are. And so here's the issue. Stop competing. Let him watch his sports, okay? Yes, I come on 10 to 12 noon in the morning. Yes, I'm on 1 to 3 in the afternoon. Sometimes when I'm talking politics, I'm on 6 to 8 p.m. at night. And I know you might see me from time to time and all of this other stuff, but you let him get his fill. But when he wants you, you make sure that you are there to do whatever it is that you do that makes him so happy. And once you do that, then you step back and you remind him of what makes you happy. And the next time he's caught up in sports and it's a little bit too much, don't tell nobody I told you this, but you got to make him pay. You got to deprive that brother. You understand what I'm saying? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Too much absence makes the heart wander. That is true. But in the same breath, you got to find a happy medium. You understand? You got to make him suffer. You got to make him suffer enough to let him say, I love my boy Stephen A., but he don't do that for me. Whatever that is, you do. You get where I'm coming from? Think about that and holler back at me. It's a good take. It's respectable. That's the grade I'm going to give you here, okay? Let's move on to the next one.
Stephen A., let's get serious. I got one for you. Will Smith is better than Denzel Washington. Yes, I said it. He's more accomplished. He has more range. He has done different roles outside of being Will Smith. Every movie you see Denzel in, he's pretty much playing Denzel. He's playing himself. Will Smith's a better actor.
That might be the wall of shame take. You're on drugs. Something wrong with you. Will Smith is not better than Denzel Washington. You understand what I'm saying? Hurricane, Glory, Training Day, etc. You know, you ain't see Will Smith play that kind of role. You understand? Gemini wasn't Training Day. You understand? iRobot wasn't Training Day. You ain't seen that kind of role, all right? Even though I like iRobot, that's one of my favorite movies. I really liked Will Smith in that movie. Of course, The Bad Boys. You understand? 1, 2, 3, and 4. No doubt about it. Bad Boys, gotta give Will Smith love for that Independence Day when he burst onto the scene, when Vivica Fox was on there with him. Gotta give him love. Will Smith is big time, no doubt about that. He deserves all the praise and acclaim he's received, no doubt. But Denzel is Denzel. When you're talking about Denzel, that's a different category, a different level, okay? A different layer. You're talking about Denzel Washington, you're talking about Morgan Freeman. You're talking about those two, you're talking about Tom Hanks. You're talking about Pacino. You're talking about De Niro. Those categories, all right? It's a different level. Love Will Smith, no doubt about that. And I think Jamie Foxx, for example, is arguably the most talented actor, you know, most talented talent in the history of Hollywood because of his versatility, etc. But Denzel is Denzel, all right? Whether it's The Equalizer, and I mentioned the other movies. I mean, it's Denzel Washington, okay? Watch him out. Watch him out. That's a blasphemous take, wall of shame. Don't even think about it. I don't even want to talk to you anymore. Next up, please give it to me.
Stephen A. Smith, do you ever worry about your fans from ESPN being turned off because of your political views? You ever worry about your sports fans being upset or whatever because of your political views?
No, I don't. But I appreciate the question. It's a damn good one. I don't worry about it because first of all, it's politics. It's not sports. Secondly, I don't bring it to ESPN. Thirdly, and most importantly, I think it's important to remember that I'm a reasonable human being. What I do when I'm talking politics is what I do when I'm doing everything. I let you know how I feel and where I stand based on the facts that I have presented to me. But I'm open-minded to be corrected, which means I'm willing to engage in dialogue. And I'm willing to talk with people and hear what they have to say and why they may feel the same, and they may be aligned and in accord with me, or why they may feel differently, and they might take it from that place. That's how I am. I'm not one of those dogged, rabid ideologues that's stuck on one position and I'm not moving, and I don't give a damn how anybody else feels, if I'm offending anybody or anything like that. That's not how I am. All I'm doing is I research my information, I tell you what I learned, what I know, what I think I know. I articulate those thoughts to you from the honesty and the heartfelt position that I come from, and then I let the chips fall where they may. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. If I'm corrected, I'll say I'm corrected. And if I'm right, I'm not budging. And it's just that simple. That's how I look at it. And I think that when you have that kind of attitude, it encourages people. It doesn't turn them off, because you're willing to say where you feel, which means you're willing to be open and honest and potentially vulnerable, because you have an open mind. You're open-minded enough, rather, to have your mind changed if the facts or if somebody else's perspective is a bit different than yours, and dare I say a bit more educated. When you do that, I think it encourages people to engage in more dialogue, which encourages people to watch and listen and talk with you and to you instead of at you. And I think that contributes to making the world a better place. So I don't think it turns people off at all. Matter of fact, I think it turns them on. And I think it's one of the reasons why my audience has grown. It hasn't dissipated. That's where I'm coming from with it. But again, I like the question. It was really, really a good question, okay? And I'm going to say that. Now, that's serious. That's the way I'm going to grade it, because I like that question. I really do. Next up, what's your next question?
Stephen A., as a fashion aficionado, what did you think of the big swag goose denim jacket yesterday on Monday Night Countdown? Curious to hear what you think of that and if we'll be seeing you in the same type of garb. Have a good day.
Oh, swag goo. I love swag goo. It's my brother. But you could do better than that. Swag goo could do better than that. I thought I have trained my brother better. I thought that he would know that you don't show up on Monday Night Football, which is a premier set to be on, wearing that kind of clothing. Now, this brother is making enough money. You understand what I'm saying? He calls himself Big Sexy. He could have had on a better outfit than that. I think he was going to Lambeau Field, cheese country. Ain't nothing much going on there. And he said, I'm going to rock this outfit because it's cold as hell out here. I ain't going to be thinking about that, but I am very underwhelmed by that outfit. I expected him to look a bit smoother than that. I'm very disappointed in Swag Goo. I'm very disappointed. He's better than that. He's better than that, okay? I will have a personal talk with him about his wardrobe malfunction, which I would give an F, okay, on Monday Night Football. You do not show up on Monday Night Football looking like you dressed for a cold-ass grilling outside in your backyard. That is unacceptable. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it. And he did not represent me well. Now, I got to watch my tone, because he got a wife that, you know, she don't play. You know, she'll come at me to protect her man. And I got to be very, very careful about how I come at Swag Goo. But that big-ass dude don't need to be wearing that daggone denim jacket. He could have done better. Black leather stuff would look smoother. You understand? More that shaft look that he prides himself on having. And it would have been better. It's very disappointing. I expected better from him. Very disappointing. I'm going to give that, I should say, a wall of shame, but I'm not going to go that far. It was blasphemous, though. It really, really was. Next up, what you got?
Stephen A., what's up? This is DeMarco. I'm from Maryland. Question about the tariffs. Obviously, Trump right now is kind of in a down part of his presidency. How do you think, if successful, the tariffs will be implemented into society? And do you think prices will eventually come down, or will they stay kind of the same?
Here's my issue with Trump on the tariffs. I don't know if it will work. I remember when Ronald Reagan in the 80s talked about, for the short term, it would work. But if you're ultimately forcing other countries to take their business elsewhere, it could compromise the American consumer somehow, some way, eventually in our pockets. So I'm very wary of it. I'm not that confident in it. But when your debt is $37.8 trillion, I can't knock the president for coming in and trying something. Whether it's the cryptocurrency thing, whether it's the tariffs or anything like that. Anything that they believe will contribute to lowering our national debt, making the attempt to do so, I believe, is worth the risk, at least for the moment. Okay, now how he goes about implementing it, how, you know, wayward he is, how chaotic he may do it. I may not like it, but I don't blame him for trying. It remains to be seen what will happen. But if it is true that these commitments exceeding $15 trillion from corporations into the American economy, if that truly is something that is going to take place because of pledges that have been made to the Trump administration and to the United States of America, then there's nothing we can say. If all they are pledges and none of it reaches fruition and it doesn't come close to being what Trump and them said it was going to be, and it doesn't trim on national debt in any way, then he was full of it. But only time will tell. And until we know, we really can't say anything. It's a serious take. It's a respectable take. I'll give it respectable what you're saying because the question is legit. But we don't know the definitive answer to that question. And we won't know in all likelihood for another year or so. And that's where I'm at with it. Next question, please.
My rant for Stephen A. Smith is the poor quality of radio play across the USA, especially in New York. When I was growing up, you heard all types of music to blend old and new, and you were not aged out the system. That way, I was able to sing the Supremes, Stevie Wonder, as well as Michael Jackson and Prince.
It's going back a long way when you brought up the Supremes, my brother. Showing your age right there. What I would say to you is that, you know what? Every genre is represented. Not just on local radio, but certainly on Sirius XM. You want rock and roll, you want hard rock, you want hip-hop, you want R&B classics, you want R&B, you know, up-to-date, all of this stuff. Yeah, you got it. So, I mean, listen, with the inordinate amount of avenues you have to get the content that you want, you don't have to have an amalgamation of everything on one channel. You can have a specialty. And so that's just the way the world works. You evolve. Economic times have enabled us to do that. What existed in the 70s, you know what, we didn't have cell phones, okay? We didn't have cell phones. We have pages now. We didn't have camera phones, okay? You didn't have the internet back in the day. You certainly didn't have AI. So things evolve and you make adjustments. As a society, that's what's going on. And, you know, just like folks in the past lamented changes, folks now are going to lament changes that are coming. But you have to adapt because that's how the world works. It's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. And you have to accept that because it's not going to stop just because you complained about it. You got to make adjustments. Respectable question, but that's my answer to it. Next up, please.
You think the legalization of weed is so great, Stephen A., that the government's getting all this tax bonus? You ever take a look at the social cost of legalization of weed and how much that costs the government? Why don't you step out of your cocoon and have a conversation with Alex Berenson on your Straight Shooter show? I think that would be radio gold.
I don't have any problems with talking with Alex Berenson. Doesn't bother me. The New York Times, if I remember correctly, I'm not sure. But I have no problem talking to him. But who told you I'm celebrating, you know, the legalization of weed and I thought it was so great? I'm the one that says, stay off the weed! That came from me. That came from me. Now, obviously, I was talking about modern-day athletes because I don't believe in the legalization of weed for the modern-day athlete because I think it could be used as a performance-enhancing drug. Allow me to explain. If you are somebody that's a professional athlete, right, your talent is one thing, but your nerves are another. No matter how much talent you have, when the clock is ticking, when times get tight, when pressure arrives, some people get rattled under pressure. Some palms get sweaty, asses get tight. So you see what I'm saying? Everybody can't handle the pressure, but others can. But if weed helps you to calm your nerves, that's an performance enhancer. I don't like that. I don't like athletes being able to use that. If you're going to get nervous under pressure, damn it, overcome it yourself. Don't smoke some weed. Don't puff and pass to calm your nerves. And find a way to deal with it. That's how I roll. But having said all of that, if you're minding your business, you ain't bothering anybody, and you want to smoke some weed, what do I care? I got family members that smoke weed. I mean, that's their prerogative. I'm not sweating it. I'm just simply saying, for professional athletes, it shouldn't be something that should be utilized and legalized in the world of sports. And I've said that on many, many occasions, so I don't celebrate the legalization of weed. I don't think people should be in a car or working in corporate America and be allowed to show up to work high and all of this other stuff. No, I'm against that. So I don't know where the hell you got that from, that was me. That wasn't me that came up with that stuff. I don't celebrate it. I just know that it exists, and I know that it's something that's been illegal, that's been legalized. I know that for medicinal purposes, it's been approved in many states. We get all of that. And you have to just deal with that because there are advantages to it that people have noticed and exploited. And that's just the world that we're living in. I get your take. I understand it. I'm not going to say you lost your damn mind. I'll give you a respectable grade for it. But I could say you lost your damn mind because you said I celebrated. And I do not. But again, I don't have a problem talking with your man, Mr. Alex Berenson, about this topic. It doesn't bother me at all. One last get serious take. Let's hear what it is.
You want the smoke? Let me give it to you. Quarterbacks, stop holding the ball in the pocket. You need to get rid of it. And Derrick Henry, you can't hold that ball like a loaf of bread. You need to hold that ball like a brick. So you won't fumble the ball. So get with it.
Chantel, who the hell are you talking about? I mean, damn. He came out. I mean, it almost hurt me right there. I was like, who the hell is she talking about? Talk about Jalen Hurts? Talk about Jordan Love? Talk about Jackson Dart up the road from East Rutherford, in East Rutherford, New Jersey, from Philadelphia? Talk about Justin Fields and the New York Jets? Talk about down at the Turnpike towards Harrisburg and all of that? Talk about the Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers? What you talking about? I don't know. I couldn't tell. You never told me. You did a lot of yelling, a lot going off. But you didn't tell me who you were talking about, Chantel. So that's going to have to be my worst take of the day. Because you didn't tell me who you were talking about. We can't just be emotional, devoid of facts, and not telling us who we're talking about. Okay, you better than that. You better than that. I'm going to give that my wall of shame take for the day. That's what I'm going to do, okay? Now, that's not to knock on you, Chantel. I'm just saying, next time you call, you got to say who you're talking about. You got to identify your target so we know where you're coming from and why. That's what you do when you go to SiriusXM.com/get serious. Once again, SiriusXM.com/get serious. When you come there to give a take, you tell me who and what you're talking about so we know who you're targeting. That way, when we want to get at somebody, we get at them and we get serious with it. It's what we do. Understand, Chantel? Do not make me tell you again. You think you can do better than these folks? Then you know what to do. Head over to SiriusXM.com/get serious. Send me your boldest voicemail. And remember, you only have 20 seconds to prove your point. So don't waste my time. If your take's legit, I'll call you back and we can discuss it on air for real. Simple as that. Listen live to The Stephen A. Smith Show, only on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with replays from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is The Stephen A. Smith Show, and this is Get Serious.